Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies. Thanks for joining us today, Chad.
Thank you for having me.
Hi.
Good morning.
So we had a discussion the other day about the second generation of insurance in your family. Your father, Ross, started the agency, and several of your family work in the agency. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, that's correct. My father started the agency in 1974. Started out of the back of his car, so it's truly kind of an American success story. We now have 11 offices spread out. 10 of them are in Minnesota, one in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the entire family is involved. Yeah.
It's really a family deal, Sam.
Truly a family deal. All of my, I've got an older brother and sister and a younger brother, and they're all involved, and we all have different responsibilities within the organization, but it's worked out well. We enjoy it.
So then, is your dad still calling the shots?
He will always call the shots. Unfortunately, that's on the radio, but everybody already knows it.
Well, those founders, you know, they have a certain thing they can get done. Today, Chad, we're going to talk about how a business owner can effectively shop their insurance. What does that mean? I thought you just called an agent and said, I need some of this stuff, or you tell me what I need and pay the bill and away we go. That's not the case?
That is the case, unfortunately, which is why I'm here today. That's one of the things that I'd like to talk about. Unfortunately, so many people just assume that they can pick up the phone and they shop their insurance and they do it last minute and they don't
That's
really
want
And there's a lot, don't feel bad, everybody, there's a lot of people in that same situation. So really what I wanted to talk about today is kind of tell you a little bit about my past and a little bit about the experience that I have in the insurance industry, and then also share with you ways that in the long run you can save yourself insurance or save you money on insurance. You know, the method that you should do, the things you should be thinking about, and, you know, the game plan that you should lay out. If you follow what I'm telling you that long term you will save money on your insurance.
Okay, in previous podcasts, we talked about insurance for startups.
Correct.
And that's a dangerous time for a business owner starting because there's a little money and there's some exposures and we have to deal with that. And then we talked about insurance for maturing businesses because they have more assets to protect and more possible problems.
Correct.
Now we're talking about you're up and running and you've been running for a while and all of your costs are increasing every day, it seems like. So if they come over to you and say, Chad, I want to take a look at my insurance coverages, and is there a way to save some money? Is that what we're talking about here?
That's exactly what we're talking about, and the reasons why people shop, there's all sorts of different reasons. The right way to do it is that you're taking a look at what's available to you in the marketplace. You want to see if there's other services. You want to see if there's other coverages. You want to start there, and then, of course, get involved in price. The reason why people shop, we hear it all across the board. A lot of people have had a claim situation that maybe didn't go exactly according to plan, or they feel that they haven't got the services from their agent that they've expected, so they'll take it to market. What I'm telling you is before you do this, one of the things that you need to be considering is having a strategic plan in place before you make that call to an agent. You know, start 90 days out. You know, don't start last minute.
So a strategic plan for
shopping your insurance, exactly.
Okay.
So understand what you're looking for. It's no different than when you go to buy a car. You have an idea when you go to buy a car of what you want in that model.
Oh, okay.
You know, so when you have your insurance, you know, you have an idea of kind of what your needs are, you know, your basic needs. Now let's go out and see what else you can do and what you can get for it. Your goal should be to get coverage first, then to get the services provided to you, and then look at your price. And all those things are variables in the equation when you're shopping your insurance.
So if you're in business and you've been in business for a while, the smart thing to do would be to take a look at your policies and see when the renewal dates come up, and then make sure 90 or 120 days before that they call their agent, they call you and say, is this the best policy we can get for the best price? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, when you're going to shop your insurance, be serious about shopping your insurance. Don't do this thing kind of half effort. You don't want to have a situation where, you know, somebody has called you, so you say, okay, listen, I've got an agent. He keeps harassing me. I'm going to let him come out and take a look at this. Let your intentions be that you really are going to shop. And then 90 days out, the best way to do this is to take a look at your business and write a little summary. Help the agent out a little bit. Tell them exactly what you're doing. You know, you're the only one that can do this. So often you see what you talked about before, people will hand you their policies. Well, that still isn't necessarily, that's great. We know what your building coverages are. We know what you have in place right now. But we really don't know everything we need to know about your business. So if a business owner would draft a summary, just simply talk about, here's what I'm manufacturing, or this is what I'm selling, this is who I'm selling to, this is what I have, and then have that ready to go with copies of the policies saying, okay, I've got property here. I've got liability sales. I've got, here's my loss experience. If they have that information ready, you're going to have a much better experience when you take it to market.
Okay, but if I've been in business for a while, mm-hmm. and I've got my insurance, and I'm reasonably happy you've done a good job for me, what should I expect from you on these renewal coverages when they come up?
That's a great question. That exact same thing. You should be reviewing your exposures with your agent on a year-to-year basis at a minimum. If you're growing, if you're a business that's rapidly growing and there's been any major changes, you want to have an agent involved with that right away to make sure that you're not missing anything, you know, especially if you've added employees. We kind of talked about that in the last cast where we talked about if you're adding employees, when do you call your agent? Sales have increased substantially. You've added employees. You've added automobiles. You've taken on additional properties. Those are all things that would trigger a call to your agent.
Do agents then just, it sounds like there's two things going on, that you could be shopping agents as well as shopping insurance carriers.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So are you looking, when you shop for an agent, would you be looking at someone who can look at all types of carriers or...
Yep, there's two different types of agents that are out there. You have a captive agent, which would be similar to like a State Farm or an American Family. And a captive agent means simply they work for one group. They're a captive. That's all they represent. Then there's independence, which is what we do, which means that we have a basket of opportunities that are out there. We represent multiple carriers. The advantage to that is if you don't have the fit for one, then we could put you with somebody else. You don't need to be stuck in one particular situation. So that's where we say, if you're out there and you're looking for business and you're looking for coverages and you're looking for services, those things are going to vary carrier by carrier.
Okay.
Let's dig into this for a minute. Let's assume that you're my agent and I've got all of my coverage. I got my car, I've got my liability coverage, I got my real estate coverage, I've got everything with you. And you're an independent, so you have access to all of these different companies. So then do we sit down and we take a look at the level of coverage? We take a look at the deductibles? We take a look at what all do we look at every year? Are there certain things you can look at that will have an impact on what the cost will be?
Absolutely. Deductibles being a big thing. Adjusting your deductible. If you raise your deductibles, you will see a premium decrease. But sitting down and reviewing those exposures to see if anything has changed, to see the satisfaction. Has there been a claim? Has there been a trend? Has there been an issue? When I'm talking about a trend, I'm talking about a loss issue. Maybe we've got multiple claims and we're not happy with the way that either the carrier has handled those claims or we want to have more loss control. And when we talk about selecting carriers, there are carriers that will provide those services for you as part of paying your premium. There's others that will not do it. So there's a wide array of options that are out there to the consumer. And what the agent should be doing is listening to exactly what you're telling them. Here are my needs, and let's go out and find a carrier that first matches those needs, get you the coverages, and then let's talk about, is this price competitive? A lot of people go price-driven only. You know, so what'll happen is they have now determined that price is really the only value to insurance and that the carrier doesn't matter and the agent doesn't matter. It's become a little too much of a commodity, and this is going on in the industry right now. And what happens in these situations is people that really need help as far as loss control goes or people that are looking for or need broader coverages aren't doing that because they're just looking at that bottom line and assuming that an auto policy is an auto policy. A general liability policy is a general liability policy. That is not always the case. So you need to take a look at what coverages you have, and the only way, or I'm sorry, what coverages you need, and the only way to do that is to sit with your agent and explain to them specifically what you do. And that's where that business summary will come into play.
Explain the loss control part of that.
So let's say, for example, you're having numerous slip and falls. Mm-hmm. You know, people are coming onto your property and they're reporting these claims because they're slipping on the sidewalk. You know, loss control would be a situation where they're going to come out, a representative of the carrier or a third party, and they're going to point out these exposures to you, explain why you're having these claims, and help you better manage them. There might be something like in fast food restaurants, the surface. The surface would get some grease on it, become slippery, and we were having employee losses because people were slipping and falling. There is a new surface that you could lay down. You know, loss control would come in and say, listen, there is a product that you can put over the top of your floors That'll make it sticky, and people will stop slipping. They will stop falling. That's carrier information. That's your carrier working with you. That's going to bring down your claims over time. It's going to make you a better risk to carriers, and that's going to save you money. So shopping your insurance, again, matching your needs with what you're matching your carrier with the needs that you have is very important. And you need to be proactive about it. You can't expect your agent to come in and know exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. That's not possible. You know what you need, you know what you have, you know the type of business that you're running. So some of, I should say most of the responsibility initially falls on that individual to express exactly what they want to the agent. Then it becomes the agent's responsibility to go out to those markets and try and match those needs as best as possible.
Okay.
So this really gets a lot more in depth than just calling up and saying, I need liability insurance, I need car insurance, I need something. In your particular instance, since you're an independent agent and you have access to all these companies, I would assume you do a summary of the coverages that are that a business has. And you come out and you sit down with them and you say, okay, let's talk about your business. How are things going? And you actually go beyond insurance to find out what are they doing, what are they selling, what has changed in the last year, those kind of things.
That's exactly right. I mean, if we go out, we're pre-qualifying a customer no different than a customer is pre-qualifying us. We want to know, are they serious about making a move? We want to know what their needs are, and we want to make sure that their needs match ours. If somebody just throws some information at me and says, hey, this is what I've got, good luck, well, and that happens. And you walk away from that going, well, I have no opportunity on this. So that person is lost. You know, you may have been a good fit for them. We may have had carriers that could save them money. We may have had some coverages that they don't currently have. But a lot of the attitude that is expressed back to the person is going to come out when they go to shop that account for them.
Mm.
Sam, when's the last time you had a personal discussion with your insurance agent about your coverages and your gaps in coverages?
Are you serious?
And, I'm serious.
Yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, you're the exception then, I think.
No, but I fit more often into that, here's what I've got, what can you do? What do I need?
So it's a price issue.
Well, no, it's that, and I'm growing, so what do I need? I mean, this is just like over my head, and actually, I'm sorry, but insurance is not top of mind for me.
It's not the top of your list?
Yeah.
But I think it's a very important issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that's most important maybe that we haven't talked about is gaps in coverage. If the business has changed, you may have something that some exposure that you're not aware of.
Correct, and the agent wouldn't be aware of that either. And that goes back to that business summary and having things ready for the agent, because you're going off of what they're telling you. And if you get half the information, you're basing everything that you do on half that information. You know, you never told me that you imported goods directly from a foreign country. You know, if you don't tell people that, you know, that you don't know, and you got to make sure that you have the right things in place.
Mm-hmm.
And an underwriter, you know, when a company is looking at your particular account, the more information that's been given and the better you can make the risk look, the better the pricing is going to be, because if they can get real comfortable with it and they get a pretty good understanding of what exactly it is that you're doing, what exactly it is that they're covering, and they know that management cares, those all become, that's going to reflect on your business, and those become factors in the pricing. You know, they can use credits, and they're more likely to use that with an account that they feel a lot more confident in than somebody who just says, listen, I don't care what it is, just be 10% under what the other person has.
Let's talk about this underwriter for a minute. This is interesting to me. It's intriguing to me. Underwriters in from where I come from, in my business experience, are those old bean counters that they keep in a dark room somewhere with eye shades, and and they're looking at who knows what, and they're deciding, I'm going to charge this or I'm going to charge that. What are they really all about? What kind of people are they? Can you have an impact on them if you deliver more information?
Absolutely, and that's when you're looking at, when you're out shopping, taking a look at an agency that has multiple carriers and has a good track record. You want to make sure they have experience. An underwriter is, we're their eyes and ears. So they're dependent upon us to get this information. If they don't trust the agent that's out representing them and getting them the information, they don't believe that it's necessarily accurate, they've got their own jobs to be worried about, so they're not going to price those things accordingly. Relationship is with the client is number one, and relationship with the carrier is number two. You have to have a good working relationship on both ends. And the Nesbitt agencies in particular, my role, so you know my background, I've been there for 18 years. We've got 50 agents. I've seen tens of thousands of accounts. Everything flows through a central marketing system for us, meaning the agent will go out, meet with the client, address the needs, come back and talk to myself or another individual in our marketing department about this client, and then we'll discuss what carriers fit their needs best. Then we'll take it just to those carriers. Even though we have 80 markets, it's ridiculous to go out to those 80 markets and try and get insurance for you. Another thing is, if people shop their insurance every year, carriers are going to know that. That underwriter is going to know that. If they've looked at an account five times and never written it, it's not going to get a lot of hands-on attention. However, it's the first time they've looked at it. The person has been with somebody for a few years. It's a great account, and they want to take a jump at it. Well, they understand that everything has to be equal, and sometimes price is the great divider, so we know we have to apply some credit to this in order to secure the account. They're not going to do that if they see poor management. They don't see any care about loss control, and they see that they've been shopping every year. That's where clients miss the boat.
So these underwriters really have a set of criteria that they apply to each policy or each application that is going to determine the premium that they're going to set?
Yeah, I mean, there's filed rates, and there's certain walls that they're going to stay within, but they're going to take a look at this account, and they're going to see first of what their opportunity is, too, because they've got a stack of business that's sitting next to them on opportunities, and they don't want to waste their time either on something that they know they're not going to write. So they're going to look at the agency. They're going to look at the agent. They're going to look at where have they been in the last few years. So in the last 5 years, if they've been with a new carrier, and I'm talking about the client here, if they've bounced from one carrier to another over the last 5 years, they know that, wait a minute, I'm probably not going to be on this for more than a year anyway. Carriers have exposure. Writing business first year, they usually, their margins are not real good because there's a lot invested in that first year. So if they look like they're going to write it a year and not keep it any longer, that's not going to interest them. If they see loss, you know, a loss experience that is high, so it has not been a profitable account, they don't see any interest in loss control. The agent is telling them they don't have a loss control program. They don't have a formal program as far as like safety committees and things like that. An underwriter is not going to be interested by that. So what you need to do is if you've got a problem and you're out shopping your insurance and you finally quote-unquote find religion and then you want to get involved in loss control, then what you would do is talk to your agent about it and say, look, here's what I've done. I know I've got a problem. Here's what my problem is. Be upfront about it, and then have that agent say, look, I need more loss control. Find me a carrier that is going to provide me these hands-on loss control services. Have them come out and meet with me. I want to talk to them about it. And you can stop that process right there and start anew. So there's always a second chance to get this thing going. And long-term, that will save you money. Carriers are going to look at profitability and opportunities for profitability.
Now, if you've got a business that's maybe never had a claim, I've been in business 35 years, and I've been paying for insurance for 35 years, and I've never had a claim.
Yep.
But they never reduced my premiums either, so what's going wrong with that deal?
Well, they know you have money, Tom.
I had money. The insurance companies have the money now. It's all gone.
Well, that's something that, that's when you want to take a look at how often should you be shopping your insurance, and you can have your premiums come down. The market conditions change. Insurance is a cyclical market, commercial insurance in particular. So every 3 years is kind of the rule of thumb to throw it out to your agent to say, listen, I'm happy with my company. I'm happy with the service you've been providing me. Can you just show me some options? And once they take it to market, they'll go out and you don't have to, you know, don't send it to everybody. Just send it out to market and let's see where the pricing is at. If a carrier hasn't seen it for a while and discussion is, look, he's been with them for 10 years. He's happy with them, but he's willing to move if we can find better coverage and we can get a better price. That is where that current carrier, if they want to stay on you, is more likely to give you some credits to say, okay, fair enough. The market has changed. He has been good. We don't want to lose him.
So this is where a business owner holds his agent accountable and says, listen, I haven't had a claim in many years. My premiums aren't going down. Let's go find out if we can save some money.
Yeah, let's go see if there's options available in the marketplace. Things change all the time.
Now, you mentioned something earlier about different carriers and different industries. Are there actually insurance companies that like certain industries from year to year? I'm sure it changes all the time. So that you know that if you've got a widget manufacturer that, you know, there's two or three places you take it and the other places is, you're wasting your time.
Absolutely. You're right on the button. There's carriers that have specific experience in certain industries, and they do it better than others. They know the industry. They know what to look for. They feel more confident in being able to underwrite it appropriately and get adequate price in what coverages they should have there, what things they need to be aware of, what deductibles they should be applied. So you've got carriers that will exclusively write. They'll say they'll write other things. You know, they'll say they're writing buildings. They say they write construction companies, but what they really want are manufacturers. So when you send that piece of business to a company that wants a manufacturer, they're going to price that thing a little more aggressively because they have a better understanding of what's going on. And that's why when you're looking at an agency and you're shopping your insurance, ask how many carriers they have. Because if you've got 80 carriers like we have, you don't have to jam something into a carrier that doesn't want it. We can't make them, you know, you can't say, look, you have to write this thing and here's why. We can say, this is what we've got. Here's what we're looking for. Carrier A loves manufacturing, so we know we're going to send it to the carrier A. Carrier B isn't interested in any way, shape, or form. We know that, so we don't have to worry about it. You know, we don't have the pressure, if you will, to force the issue. Now, if a situation comes up and the market hardens a little bit, underwriting has gotten a little bit more firmed up.
Question. The market hardens a little bit. Does that mean they had some claims in the last year and all of a sudden they don't like that market so well? Is that
actually, there's a couple of reasons why a market can harden up. That you'll hear in the industry soft market and hard market. Your market strategies for shopping should be the same. Coverage first, then services, and then price. But a soft market, basically there's capacity. So what they're saying is there's a lot of opportunity to write business, and there's pressure to get books or to get business on the books. So people are willing to soften their underwriting practices. You know, they might look the other way on that driver that has some issues. They might be willing to lower deductibles on a building. They're going to bring your premium pricing down. A hard market is driven by less capacity in the industry. At that particular point, and believe it or not, you can actually run out of insurance. You know, it's just like a grocery store or anything else. You know, there's inventory.
I never knew that.
You can, a carrier can run out of capacity to write.
Last one was written week ago.
No more. We're done.
Yeah, and when that happens, they've got to be more specific in the business that they're writing. So they're going to go out and they're going to draw a hard line on what they're going to be able to write. So,
these carriers at the beginning of each year kind of determine how much exposure they want in certain different types of insurance?
Yes. Yep.
And then they go get that.
Yep.
And then once they get it, then they increase the price a bit, and then demand goes down.
Exactly. And a lot of those people that are out there, I mean, they're dependent upon the reinsurance markets. So when people say, how come a hurricane affects my rates? Well, a hurricane can affect your rate because if there is a large loss taken by a reinsurer, their rates are going up to offset those claims, and they're going to pass that back on to everybody else. So that's how a local regional mutual, can be affected.
So that could affect things from year to year or over a period of 2 or 3 years if there were big claims until they recover, and then somebody will decide I want to write some more of that insurance now, and then it loosens up a little bit and away you go.
Correct. And then back to the marketing strategy that we talked about before to save yourself money in the long term. If you're not implementing a strong loss control environment, and if you're not careful about your claims and doing everything that you can to help offset those exposures, and you have some claims in a soft market, you may not see those pricing increases until the market turns. Now, if somebody's looking at your account and you've been in a soft market for a few years, you take it out to the marketplace, you've got a poor loss ratio, you've got poor drivers with, you know, poor MVRs, you know, you're about to get hit hard. You know, instead of seeing a 5% increase or a 10% increase, there's carriers that can see clients that can see 45, 50.
Ouch. That wouldn't be any problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. Let's go back to a specific example here before we run out of time. We'll go back to that manufacturer. If I own a manufacturing business and I'm manufacturing a widget, one of the things that I have to cover is product liability. I'm assuming from what you've said that there are certain carriers that like product liability insurance and other carriers that don't understand it or don't have the underwriters that understand it and don't have the loss control people, so they don't want to write it. Is that how that works?
That's exactly right. And back to the product exposure. Product is one in particular because not everybody likes a product. You know, that's something that when you're producing something that's going out to the consumer directly, there's a lot of things that can happen once it's out there. So they want to know exactly what's the end use of this product. You know, what exactly is being done with it? Is it being imported? You know, is it being sent? Are children using this? What's the end use? Some carriers are very, very comfortable with that, while others will say, we don't want anything to do with it. We don't want to have a heavy product exposure because we're getting premium today, but we still may have a claim 10 years from now on that particular product. So
how deep will that carrier dig? When he's taking a look at my widget, is he going to take a look at what I'm making it out of, how I'm manufacturing it, whether or not it's a flammable product? How deep do they dig into the product to determine whether or not they want to cover it and what the premium might be?
Depending upon the product, it's going to vary from product to product. A company that underwrites and specifically is looking for product liability and is looking for that type of a client, if you've got something that's going into NASA or something along those lines, it's going to spatial, it's going into anything in aerospace or aviation, they want to know exactly what the use is. They want to know exactly where it's going so that they can get comfortable with it. If it's a control unit, for example, if you're manufacturing something that controls steering, well, that's going to be a much higher rate than something that is just, you know, basically wiring in the back of a plane for, let's say, for example, for audio purposes.
I would assume the same for like medical device manufacturing.
That's exactly right. Is it evasive? Is it non-evasive? Mm-hmm. You know, is it something that's going to be going inside of the human body? Okay, well, how are you producing it? What chemicals are you putting on it? What's it made out of? You know, who's going to be using it?
So are you saying that the level of potential exposure is how that kind of indicates how deep they dig?
Yep, absolutely. And okay. How much you're going to pay.
Okay.
You know, for medical device, you know, manufacturers that are out there, we can write those things. But if it's, for example, a pacemaker, you know, pacemakers going inside the body, that's, there's a lot of exposure. They want to know exactly what you've done. So carriers will write that. There's not going to be a lot of them because they're going to want to have a lot of medical expertise.
Okay.
And so they are going to pick that thing apart.
If I'm rolling out a new product that I'm adding to my product line, and it's a variation on an existing product, is it worthwhile to talk to you and talk to the underwriters and say, here's a new product we're coming out with, and get some input from them?
Absolutely. They're going to want input. An underwriter, anytime you're coming out with a new product line or anything like that, even if it's a deviation of what you currently have, they want to know exactly what you're going to be doing with that. And a carrier, you want a carrier to be asking you those questions, because if you're not being asked those questions, you don't have an expert, and that can lead to a coverage gap.
There's a good red flag.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Oh, and when entrepreneurs are out there designing new products, which entrepreneurs think about, I'm going to call my insurance agent, talk to my carrier, and see if they've got any input. I mean, it's kind of backwards. It's something that you wouldn't ordinarily think of.
Especially when you're looking at the pricing structure. You know, that's something that a person could think this is fairly benign. You know, in their own mind, they obviously don't see a future claim. Otherwise, why would you design it? So, unfortunately, the insurance guy and the underwriter have to come in and say, hey, there's all sorts of potential that you're not seeing right now. And you can't price it the way that you've done it. There'd be nothing worse than going to market with something and having the wrong pricing structure because you didn't contemplate what the insurance costs were going to be.
So this whole input from the carrier and this whole loss prevention thing is could be huge if it, and could be beneficial if an owner handles it correctly.
Exactly. And that's all in the, you know, the game plan that you put together for shopping your insurance.
I hadn't even thought about the pricing, the implications of the product itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Chad, any last thoughts on how to effectively shop your insurance for businesses?
Well, like we said before, to effectively shop your insurance and to save money in the long run, have a game plan. You know, sit down, put together a business summary, be proactive about it, know your needs. You know better than anybody else as a business owner what's going on around and what your concerns are. Address those concerns with your agent. Address those concerns with the carrier. And they're going to send loss control out. Be proactive with loss control. It's going to save you money. Show a carrier that you care about your business. Show a carrier that you care about loss control and that doing everything you can to never have that claim. And in the long run, you will save yourself money.
Sam, I think we've learned that we need to get a little bit closer to our insurance agents because they can help us, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been very interesting and a good lesson on shopping insurance and on thinking about how insurance carriers can help us. I think business owners will get a good idea of making an insurance agent a partner instead of just someone you're calling. You
and the objective. Benefits of that, so that the costs, you know, the price of it is incidental when you think of the cost of not having that relationship.
It could save an awful lot of money. So this has been very interesting and good for our listeners. And I'm Tom Lyons, here with Sam Zordich and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies for being with us today to show us how to shop our insurance more effectively on todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.